Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is our text. The world. 8 verses, 5 times it's mentioned. The world. Ho kosmos in the Greek. The cosmos. And here in John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, Jesus just keeps circling around the world with his words. He pictures the cosmos like a precious treasure in the hand of God. The Father regards the world with such tenderness. He gently turns it to see it from another angle. Whatever our relationship might be with the world, good, bad, indifferent, Jesus focuses on the world and how God relates to it, to this world of ours, this world with you and me in it. So today we're going to consider this from three directions, three questions. First, what is the world? Second, what is the world to God? And third, what then is the world to us? Just what is the world? From our perspective here on the ground, the world seems like a big place. When you put on your hiking boots, you lace up your running shoes, even 10 miles feels like a long way. And yet in 10 miles, you've hardly covered an inch. This place is big. And then we can think of the world by kneeling down. When you look at just one square inch of earth, what do you see? Put it under a microscope, and you see there another whole world, teeming with life, complete and tiny structures, and a complex ecosystem. And then you look up, and what do you see there? The sun, the moon, the stars that God put in place. And up really is something. It's pretty amazing. How far does up go? How big is this universe? Some of you perhaps have been getting the daily email pictures from the James Webb Space Telescope. The cosmos is huge. Spread out with planets, stars, galaxies. And you know, our own Earth looks pretty small, comparatively. More like a piece of cosmic dust when you put it in the big span of things. And then consider us and our lives. As small as the Earth may look compared to the universe, our time is so short. As the Bible puts it, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Or Isaiah, who says, "The grass withers and the flowers fade when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely people are grass." So small, so insignificant. Our big earth, this world, the whole human race, and each of us individuals on it. That alone puts us in our place. But then you consider the world from another angle. You consider the brokenness of the world and the wickedness of mankind. And you say, what is the world? You know what I mean. You read the headlines. You see the news reports, you know the stories, and you've heard the scriptures. It came to mind last Sunday as we were reading the scriptures. It said at the very end that Jesus, on his part, didn't entrust himself to anyone. He didn't give himself over to anyone, not even to those who seemed to believe, because he knew all people. And he needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. He knew what was in man. I'm not even sure we know what is in man, in ourselves or in others. And then we read in Numbers about the people of Israel, the children of Israel whom God was leading out of slavery in Egypt through the wilderness over 40 years. And what did they do? Express their gratefulness to God? Their thanks for all that he'd done? No. They became impatient on the way. They spoke against God. They spoke against Moses. They said, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Their grumbling was met with fiery serpents. What is the world? To me, the point has been driven home even more by our Bible study on Genesis chapter 6, the flood. You go back to Genesis 6 and read how it describes the world then. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. The earth is filled with violence through them. The cosmos is a big place. The earth is pretty small, and we're even smaller. What is the world? Even this small place, broken by sin and corrupted by wickedness. And if the flood is any indication, God looked at it and said, "I need to start over. It's worth condemnation," or so it seems. What is the world? It may not be a happy place or a pleasant place or an easy place or a good place. But then we come to the second question. What is the world to God? And we see something different in John chapter 3. God so not hated, not condemned, not judged the world, but God so loved the world. What is the world to God? It is the object of his love. It is the object of his saving work. It is the object of his rich mercy. Sinful and fallen world, yes. Created by God, world, yes. Loved by God and redeemed by him, yes. You might say that the world means the world to God. And this is the reason why he sent his son. This is the place where he sent his son. It's an amazing thing. This tiny speck of seemingly cosmic dust filled with violence and wickedness and corruption and sin. And God saw it and he said, "I love it. And I want to save it." God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Sent his only begotten son into the dust and the violence and the corruption and the wickedness. He did this because he is rich in mercy. It's an amazing thing. God loved the world that we may not find lovable. He sent his son into the world that we might be willing to chuck and get rid of and start over, but he wasn't. The kind of love described here is not just an ordinary kind of human love. The word in Greek for this kind of love is agape. Perhaps you've heard of it. Agape love is the love of God for something. A love that is not deserved, not merited, not earned in any way. It's a love that is not so much about the object of his affection as it is about God himself. He is the one who is filled with this agape love for the world. He does not love the sin. He does not love the brokenness. But he does love his creation. And he does love you, whom he created. And this is what God did out of love for the world. He sent his Son, not only in our human likeness, bearing our human flesh, but he sent his Son into human flesh to die upon the cross. You look on the cross, and you see the love of God for the world. And you see not only the love of God for the world as a whole and for his creation, but you see the love of God for you. Yes, you. No matter the brokenness, no matter the sin, no matter the failures or successes of your life, we can put your name in there. God so loved me. God so loved each of you that he sent his Son for you. What is the world? It may seem like a place not worth saving, but when God said, "What is the world?" he said, "This is what I will send my Son for." And he was lifted up on the cross, like the serpent, the bronze serpent that Moses made in the wilderness, lifted up that everyone who looks on him in faith, everyone who believes what God says about his Son, that he is the Savior of the world, is thus saved through him. For this is what he was given for. Not so much to die as to save. That we might have eternal life in him. And so you do. You are in the world. You are in the world that God loved. You are in the world to which God sent his Son. You are in the world that God desires to save by the death of his only beloved. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our God is rich in mercy. And it is an amazing thing to contemplate not only the smallness of the world, not only the wickedness and sinfulness of the world, but the richness of God's love, which is greater even than that. That he should give his Son for you and for me, his most precious treasure. God looked at the world filled with corruption and violence, and he looked at his Son, and he said, "Son, you know what we need to do. We've got to trade you for that." And so he did. I know the words of John 3:16 are so familiar, we can recite them backwards and forwards by memory, but let's not lose the heart of what they tell us. That God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. What do we have to do to receive this gift? Said nothing. Just believe it. You don't have to do a whole list of works. You don't have to do a whole list of good deeds. You don't have to make God pleased with you. He already loves you in Christ. If he's given his Son for you, is there anything that he will hold back from you? What is the world to God? The object of his love and the object of his saving mercy. And so what is the world to us? The third question that we have. And yes, we can look around at the world and we can see the wickedness and we can see the brokenness and we can see the sinfulness and we sorrow over death. But what is the world to us? It is the place where we experience the grace and mercy of God. It is the place where God's love meets us with forgiveness, life, and salvation. What is the world to us? But what we see right here, the very gateway and door of heaven itself, where we who struggle with the world meet a God who loves the world and loves each one of us. And so the world is also the place, then, the arena for our love, for our works for others. This is what St. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. He said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for what? For good works, that we might walk in them, which God has prepared beforehand. This is the arena where we experience God's mercy and love, and this is the arena in which his love and mercy flows through us to others. Love your neighbor. And we say, but it's hard. My neighbor's not easy to love. I'm not easy to love. God says, love your neighbor. Not their sin, not the evil, not the wickedness, but love them. For I have loved them, and I love you. Love the light, he says, and come out of the darkness. The darkness is all around us, and the darkness is inside of us. Yet as we gather here and know the gift of his Son, he calls us out of darkness into his unfathomable light. How do we respond to the love of God? Not like the children of Israel in the wilderness, who grumbled over God's gifts, but rather with thanks and praise. I mean, what can you do but thank and praise God when you hear that he gave his only Son for you? There is no other response. It's not like we can turn around to God and say, well, God, let me give you something in return. I mean, what can match his only begotten Son? But we give him our thanks and praise. And the world becomes the arena in which we praise him and thank him. If God so loved the world, and we believe that he loved the world by sending his only Son, then when we go out into the world, let's bring those words of thanks and praise with us, so that others can see not us, but our Father in heaven, and come to know him as well. Maybe to bring it full circle, if God so loved a world that seems so tiny and insignificant, if he so loved a world that is broken and fallen, then how can we not but love our neighbor? Because they are not insignificant to him, and so they are not insignificant to us. How can we not but love our neighbor even in their sin and their fallenness and brokenness? For so we have been loved by our God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we see what the world is. Not a place of perfect beauty or greatness or flawlessness, but a place that God so loved, and a place now where he has put us that we might know his love in Christ, and we might love even as he has first loved us. Hold fast to this word, to this gospel message, to the good news. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son. And he sent that Son into the world, not to condemn you, but that you and the world might be saved through him. May God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.